This morning we have the privilege of having Jay Jones with us again. He preached to us, I believe, a little more than a month ago, and he comes highly recommended from Upland. And you know, we're just eager to hear what God has put on your heart to bring to us today. So we appreciate your presence and your beautiful family.
Scripture reading before Jay's lesson is Matthew 9:35-38. And Jesus went out about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of harvest to send our laborers into his harvest."
Good morning. It's a blessing to be here. God is good all the time. I thank the brothers for the worship service. It's been a blessing. You know, it's always good to hear love being preached everywhere, and especially around the table as we were taking the communion, because God loves us. That's the only reason we're here today, because God loves us. But we enjoy this love. God has been merciful with us. Even when we were out doing things we weren't supposed to be doing, God has been compassionate and showed us tremendous mercy. And we have to appreciate that mercy. Every day we got to count our blessings one by one. We've been blessed beyond measure. Sometimes we're so blessed that we get spoiled when we lose something. We're so used to having that when we lose, it's like, wow, God, what are you doing? We like to have, which is a blessing. But we got to appreciate those blessings. The Bible talks about he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. We want to make sure we reap all the blessing that God has in store for us. God has done what he needs to do, but I got something to do now. Let's turn over to the text. This is an important text. This is very, very important a day and time, any time, but especially right now. Matthew 9:35-38. Jesus just healed a man from being demon possessed. Now he's going through all the villages and teaching and preaching and healing sickness, helping the people, loving the people. But he realizes that that's not the only thing. You can help a person. A person can stop drinking, stop smoking, stop doing drugs. You can give them sight. You can do all these things that's great, but they'll still have a void. God says he has a peace that surpasses all understanding. And it's nothing like having peace. Some of us have lived long enough to have some unpeaceful nights where you're tossing and turning, you have no peace. You go home, you have no peace. And right here, what we're going to study is trying to give peace to people that might be hopeless. God looked over the people as we see. As he healed, it says in the 36th verse, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion." This is something I see we're losing in our day and time, compassion. People are angry, road rage. Don't step on somebody's shoe or say something about their candidate. Oh, whoa, you might get shot. People are on the edge right now. Have no compassion. But what's most important, they have no God. They can go to church and sit in the pews and you still have no God. God lives in us. He lives in us. You can be in the right place and not be doing the right things. The Bible's teaching us right here that it's so important. This is one of the cornerstones of the church, is having compassion. We see when Jesus was moved with compassion, he always did something. Whether he fed the people, he healed sicknesses, he brought people from the dead. We see Lazarus. The Bible says he wept. Jesus was moved. And the Bible's letting me know that Jesus was moved so much that he said, pray that we could have some workers in the vineyard, because the harvest is truly plentiful. I've been guilty of this myself, to where I said, they don't want to hear the word. They probably won't want to listen. I'm calling God a liar. They don't really want to listen to God's word. They talking all this other stuff. And it's like, I know better than God. God is saying that the harvest is plentiful, but the labors are few. We get people that say, I don't want to go to church because I don't want to be with those hypocrites. I don't want to deal with that stuff down there. But we need to make sure we're Christians. And we stand firm on what we believe. So if you met all them hypocrites here, you met a real Christian. Can I invite you to service? And I always tell people, I'd rather go to church service with those hypocrites and have to serve my God and be an example than not serve my God, die and go to hell and live with eternity with those same hypocrites. I want to make sure I can serve my God. The Bible lets me know it's people on different faith levels, right? They might be a hypocrite at one time. Maybe they grow to the right understanding. But the idea before me, I got to stand firm on my faith. And the first thing, one of the cornerstones of being a Christian is having compassion. Having that compassion means to be moved inwardly, to yearn with tender mercy, to be moved when you see somebody need help, to be moved to try to help and not hurt, to be moved to be gold miners and not stone throwers. All of us is dirty. I don't care what your sin is, you have some demons you fight. You might have the demon, I'm good. I'm right on the money. You might be apathetic. You might be lethargic. You might just be sitting up taking up space and not doing anything for Christ. Have all the blessings, the talent God has put in you and not doing nothing with it. Thinking that coming to church service is all you have to do. The devil can have you fooled. Just sit back, relax. You're here. That's enough. Now, the Bible's saying, Jesus is saying, the harvest is plentiful. He was moved with compassion. I need to be moved with compassion. I know people have problems, but I don't need to illuminate the problems. I need to try to dig mining for, when the gold miners used to mine for gold, they used to this dust off all the gold, get off all the dirt, and get trying to find little pieces of gold. Do a lot to just find a little piece of gold because they realized that it was that valuable. People are that valuable. I need to mine for some gold. Sometimes when you think linearly, you're lineal, you usually think of people that, this is a good person, that's a bad person. This is a good job, that's a bad job. But life is full of paradoxes. We realize that if you were the person that you thought was good, you hang around them long enough, you'll see that they have some bad qualities. If you deal with a person, those people you think were bad, you hang around them long enough, you'll see that they have some gold. As long as we think like that, just good and bad and this, that, and other, we'll always be confused. We need to realize that God has put gold in all of us and be compassionate to love people enough to help them get from earth to glory. See, we live in a life that people are hopeless and they put hope in things. We talked about it this morning. They say, well, God ain't coming through well. Let me get my money straight. Let me get the right education. I got to get these things to have hope, and I put hope in these things that when I get them, I'll be happy. But sometimes when they lose those things, they're no longer happy and the hope goes with it. See, the devil can convince you that if you believe that you haven't seen, that you've seen everything, that just nothing else there to hope for, you can terminate your future. If you believe that you've experienced everything in life and there's nothing beyond what you've already experienced, you can terminate your future. We see that people were killing themselves. They've lost hope. People shooting themselves up with drugs. They've lost hope. We see people that have all this money and prestige and fame, and you're like, how could you hang yourself? They've lost hope. We're forgetting that God is the cornerstone of humanity. He's everything. We get so far out there believing that all this other stuff matters, but what it comes down to is the source. All men, I don't care where you're living, you need Jesus. And I have to have enough compassion to preach Jesus, not me. Not get caught up with judging people. Yeah, I know it's a lot of people out there doing wrong. I don't have to condone their sin. But as long as I'm by them, I'm going to try my best to steer them to heaven. I'm going to try my best to be a Christian, to be a stepping stone and not a stumbling block. That's what we got to look at. We got people in our family. You can say, hey, you messed up. You did this and you did that. Have I messed up? The Bible talks about in Proverbs 11:1. Dishonest scales are an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. Dishonest scales are an abomination of the Lord. You have scales. Your sin is heavier than mine. I'm not fair. I got different scales for you than for me. So I judge you differently. And when I judge you differently, I value you differently. You're not that valuable because you're a sinner. And I only hang with saints. And when God said that's an abomination, because we all need to get it right. You might not be doing what they're doing, but you're doing something. The Bible lets me know that I'm always growing, so I'm not there. I can always be doing something better. I can always be giving my time to the Lord. I can always be trying to help somebody instead of hurt somebody. I can always seek out where I can help. I cannot be so judgmental. You know, I realized with all throughout the scriptures, God showed compassion. You can see it with Cain. Cain killed his own brother. But God still had compassion on him. He put a mark on him. Nobody's going to mess with you, but you're going to have to get from here. We see with Moses. Moses killed a man. Didn't he kill a man? His emotions got the best of him. Have your emotions got the best of you? Oh, man, maybe that's just me. That's just me. Got the best of him. He killed a man. Had to run out. He was a man on the run. But God had compassion on that man. David numbered the people. The Bible says, I believe it's in 1 Chronicles. The Bible says 21, 1 Chronicles 21:1, that the devil stood up against Israel and tempted David to number the people. He was moved by the devil. And he numbered the people. That was God's job. And 70,000 innocent people had to die because of David. Even David said, God, what's going on? Why are you killing these people and not me? God had compassion on David. God has compassion on his children. All throughout the scriptures, he had compassion. But sometimes when people cut us off, we have no compassion. Some people wrong us, we have no compassion. Can we get back to loving people? We got people breaking laws. And we went, oh, yeah, this, that, and the other. And one brother put it to me, Jay, have you ever drove over 65 on the freeway? I said, every day. Should I go to jail for that? Sometimes we put people in jails, and we just need to try our best to just encourage them. Try to show them love. Try to give them what God has given us every day. Even when we're doing wrong, God has still blessed us and protected our children. Some people's children died last night, but yours didn't. God has been faithful to us, but he's put that in us so that we can give to somebody else. We can appreciate those blessings. We can do something with those blessings. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:24, pleasant words are like a honeycomb. Sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. Have you ever had a chance to talk to somebody that needed some talking, that needed to have a conversation, or I had a chance to encourage somebody just by words, a mere compliment? Oh, yeah, your hair looks nice today. Oh, I like that suit on you. Just little things can touch a person. I remember complimenting somebody on their physique and how they looked in their clothes. And they were like, oh, I like that guy. You know, every time I seen that guy, they treated me nice. They're like, oh, man, he remembered the words. I said, I didn't say that much, but now I became a good guy. And it wasn't because I'm good. It's because God has put something in me to try to encourage somebody else. I seen something in that person that they wanted to be encouraged on, and we do it. Have compassion on people. The Bible lets me know in Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. When we understand we need to bear another's burdens, it's not saying that I got to pay your bills, but I can encourage you how to pay your bills. I don't have to take care of your kids, but I can try to encourage you to how to take care of your kids a little better. I can encourage you to do better. Not throw stones at you and be so judgmental, so conclusive, because I'm not perfect. But try to encourage you just to do better, to love you, to be moved in a way to say, no, I want to love this person. I want to do something that causes this person to move up to the next level. Move this person from having no hope to having some hope, to preach life into somebody. Get an opportunity to preach life into somebody. Every day we have an opportunity to preach life into somebody. Whether you're at work, whether you're at the shopping center, or wherever you are, as soon as somebody just talks to you, you have a chance to preach life into somebody. That's what God has put in us, life. He's put in us life. You know, he's put in us life. He's allowed us to have, he's given us scales that we can be fair, because if God did scales with us, we should have already been in hell. But he's given us scales to be fair with people, not to say my sin is heavier than yours, that I should not give you mercy when God has given me tremendous mercy. I see that in the book of Jonah. The book of Jonah is all about God's compassion and mercy. Jonah, God had asked Jonah to go preach to a nation. Jonah didn't want to do that. He said, I want to let them people die. He said, that's a wicked city, but God called it a great city. Is there some people out there that you think are wicked, but God thinks are great? That God loves them? Even when Jonah went opposite of God, God put him in the belly of a fish. He had compassion on him. He put him in a situation that he realized that I love you, I protect you, but you're not going to stay here forever. Even when he did what was right, he was still, it's like pulling teeth out of a lion's mouth to go preach to Nineveh. And Nineveh repented. And he said, God, I knew you were a merciful God. I knew you would do this. He enjoyed God's mercy, but he didn't want them to. I got to look at myself and look at me and say, am I using fair scales with people? Do I have issues, but my issues are smaller than your issues just because you have issues? Can I talk about your kids when I know my kids is not perfect? Can I say, well, their marriage is this, but my marriage is not perfect? Can I just be fair and try to say, where can I help? Where can I help? I don't have to tear you down, because life will grind you down to nothing if you let it. It'll grind you down to nothing. And Jesus said, I'm praying. I want you to pray that you'll have laborers in the vineyard. The harvest is, somebody needs you today. Somebody needs you today, whether it be in your house or wherever it might be. Somebody needs you to be a Christian, to have compassion, to be moved so you'll move and do something, so you'll make some moves. The Bible lets me know that God has sent Jesus even while we were sinners. And he's died for us. And I look at myself and I say, well, you know, do I take this for granted that Jesus died for me? What am I doing every day? Am I using every opportunity wisely for Christ? Do I have opportunities that are just spare? Do I believe that I have coincidences as a Christian? The Bible lets me know it's no coincidence. Everybody you talk to is for a reason. Even those people you don't like. Yeah, though, it's for a reason. It might be able to make you stronger. Sometimes what makes you suffer just makes you tougher. You're going through situations and people that are trying to grind you down to nothing. And like I said last week, when pressure is applied to the outside of the toothpaste tube, the inside starts to emerge. Maybe your real inside starts to emerge. Are you for Christ? Can people take you from your firm foundation in Christ? If so, we got to grow firmer. But we got to realize we got people out there that are in the same situation, that are going through the same grinding process. They getting grinded down to nothing. And I have an opportunity to give them something, and that's Jesus Christ, just by being an example, to have some compassion on them, Not point fingers and say they wrong and they sinned and they did this. Yeah, they might have sinned. I don't condone your sin, but I'm going to try to help you with it if I get an opportunity. In Galatians 6 and 10, it lets me know I have an opportunity to do well, especially with my brothers and sisters in the church, but those outside of the church. We hear about the parable of the Samaritan and a Jew who fell amongst thieves. The reason why I said he was a Jew, because he came from Jerusalem worship. And usually when you come from Jerusalem worship, you were a Jew. And the Bible lets me know that the Levites, the religious people of those days, had no compassion. Had no compassion. But the Samaritan, the one that wasn't supposed to be so religious, had compassion. He loved this man. He gave to this man, changed this man's life forever. And I want to make the point to say, does God find more love outside the congregations here in America than inside? Isn't that something? You go out there, I got people that just love me to death. They don't care what I am, how I look, what I believe, but they love me to death. Aren't I supposed to be the same way? You're not supposed to accept the sin, but you're supposed to love the people. Bible lets me know that, yeah, we got sin that is sin. We got sin all in this world. I sin, but God loves me. We got sins that we put on different levels. Well, homosexuality is up here, murder's here, maybe rape's down there. You cheat the IRS, you know, I guess that's way down there because I ain't been on. But you got to realize that sin is sin. Even though I know some homosexuals or whatever out there, I don't love the sin of homosexuality. That's sin. But I love that person. When you come in my presence, you're going to see Jesus. You're going to hear Jesus. You're going to be around Jesus. I'm going to show you I'm an example for Jesus. I don't hate you. I'm not going to throw dirt at you. I'm not going to throw stones when I'm dealing with boulders in my own closet. But I'm going to love you. I'm going to try to teach you something by you just being in my mere presence. We got to watch how we love. The world is preaching one love, and that's a love. Oh, we all bring you in. We don't care what you are. It's so nice. We just want to bring you in and enjoy you, and you don't care what your preference is. It's the right message preached in the wrong place. That's supposed to be preached in the church. I do care about what's going on in your life because I want to help you get from earth to glory. I want to help you get to Jesus. But I love you as a person, and Jesus Christ shed his magnificent blood for you and your family. How can I help you touch that blood? That's what Jesus was preaching. How can I help people touch the blood of Jesus? Pray that we have some workers in the vineyard, not so hateful, not so conclusive, not so judgmental. Just bring them to me and I do the rest. You do your best and I do the rest. Just bring them. God has two metaphors here. The shepherd and his flock. And the next one is the workers in the harvest. See, that's God. That's man needing God with the shepherd and the sheep. That's man needing God. But God is now saying, I need you. I got the harvest, but I need you to go out in the harvest and make it happen. God is showing us something right there. And I know we live in a day and time where, oh, man, I see hate everywhere. It's just hate, hate, hate. You got to turn off the TV. Oh, I don't want to hear about that. No, I don't want to hear that story either. Can I tell you about Jesus? And it brings me to the next scripture. And it always stood out to me in 2 Timothy 2 and 4. 2 Timothy 2 and 4. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And especially right now in day and time, and maybe it's always been like that, you know, but in my generation, what I've seen, I see that we have a lot of Democrats and a lot of Republicans and not enough Christians. We got to have more Christians. I know what the news say. I watch it every day. Oh, I know what's going on, Fox, CNN, MSNBC, CC, whatever, GG, whatever else is there. I know what's going on. But I don't spend no time with Jesus. Not even a chapter a day. And whatever you sacrifice for, whatever you look into more, whatever you spend your time doing, that's what you value the most. That's what you value the most. If you spend your time getting all that garbage, what you think is going to come out? Your conversation will be filled full of garbage. Stuff that don't matter. Yeah, you can vote. You can do all that. That's good and dandy and all that. But the most important thing for a Christian is you serve Jesus Christ. Yeah, we got a government, which is great, and I don't like to get too political. But the main government for Christians is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's who we serve. That's who we serve. This is the truth. I can't look at the news and say, yeah, see, I told you that. See what was happening? Yeah, that's the truth. No, that's not the truth. This is the truth. That's why Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Because the devil was going to try to continue to combat that. He was going to be like, no, I got the truth. No, I got the truth. Didn't he do that in the garden with Eve? No, God said this. Well, I said this. Who are you going to believe? And we're at that point right now. Who are we going to believe? We're going to believe in God and saying, okay, God, I believe you. What do you want me to do? What do you want me to be moved with compassion? Be moved with compassion so that you can represent me. You can get people from earth to glory. You can give people hope. You can give hope to the hopeless. You don't see people with a hopeless sign on their forehead. I'm hopeless. Oh, no, it don't happen like that. It'll be a little easier. You don't see people, I'm angry. I'm bitter. My dog just died. My wife died. My husband died. You don't see that. But you deal with that on a daily basis. People fighting their demons. It was a story that was brought to my attention. No, it was a real life event. A young father, James Lee, shot himself in a tavern phone booth. Minutes before, he had called a reporter and told him that he had sent the paper an envelope outlining his story. The frantic reporter tried to trace the call, but it was too late. When the police arrived, the young man was slumped over with a bullet through his head. In his pockets was a child's crayon drawing, much folded and worn. On it was written, "Please leave it in my coat pocket. I want to have it buried with me." The drawing was signed in childish print by the man's daughter, Shirley, who had died in a fire 5 months before. The father had been so grief-stricken that he had asked total strangers to attend his daughter's funeral so she would have a nice service. He said there was no family to attend since Shirley's mother had died when the child was two. And so when he had called the reporter just before he took his life, Lee said that all he had in life was gone, and he felt so alone. Don't we? We're dealing with people that feel alone. We don't know it. This wasn't written on this man. You're dealing with people that are some of us in here, dealing with issues. I had a brother in San Diego. Both of his sons died. Some jumped up, came back down. They're playing softball game. Both of his sons died, months from each other. Healthy kids, think they had some type of issues and just died. Something clot in their body. Die. Devil's at him. He needed encouragement. He could have stopped preaching the gospel, but he kept on preaching the gospel. Just him being there was such an encouragement to me. He had lost something, and you could tell it was on him. See, people have spiritual backpacks. And in these backpacks, they have frustration, disappointment, molestation, hatred, setbacks, all types of things in these backpacks. They get over life's journey. And we got to be our best to help lighten the load, bear one another's burdens. People come to church to get hope, to have a refuge. But people shouldn't have to come to the pews to get that. If I'm a true Christian, and I'm not throwing anybody under the bus, only God knows if you're a true Christian or not. If I'm a true Christian, I need to do better every day. How can I get out there? I don't have to just preach Jesus right away. I could just drop something on somebody, a nugget of love. and touch them more than anybody else has ever touched them in their life so that they don't feel so alone. Sometimes we it's funny with humans. We like to be alone sometimes, but we never want to be lonely. And sometimes we can be lonely. Don't know what's going on. Some of the people you fighting with out there, or I'm fighting, we all fighting with, they just fighting their demons. They might be going through something. Their backpack is grinding them down to nothing, and it's so heavy. The burden is so heavy that every day seems hopeless. But when they come across us, some hope should come out of us. And that's the blessing to be in the body of Christ, because God has done so much for us. We got to take them, those blessings, and share. Like the Bible lets us know in Malachi, God said, I pour out blessings that you won't have enough room to receive them. Yeah, now I can share them with somebody else. I can share my blessing. I can have compassion on people. Don't look at the news and say, oh, this, that, and other about the people. How, God, pray for those people. Pray for people that need prayer. We can point fingers up. Pray for people. Some people just need prayer. Sometimes when we come across people on the street, just pray for them. You might not want to come to church with me, but we can have church, right? I can pray for you. Take them and pray for them. Don't say, I'll pray. Pray for them right then and there if you have the opportunity. Just showing compassion on people, like God has shown compassion on us. There might be some in the audience who still have this void. If you're not in Christ Jesus, you have a void. Jesus is the only one that gives real peace. All these other things are fleeting. The Bible lets me know I have to hear. What do you have to hear about Jesus? You have to hear that Jesus died for you, that he sacrificed everything for you. He was the only perfect lamb that could do this, Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ alone. Now I have to believe this. I might not believe that. But I have to believe that Jesus is my Lord and Savior, that God sent Jesus as my Savior to live and die for me and raise on the third day so that I can continue to have life. And that if I live faithful unto death, he'll give me a crown of life that fadeth not away. I got to repent and say, no, I don't want to live for me. This is something about compassion too. Sometimes we don't have compassion because we're selfish. Like, it's about me. It's not about nobody else. But God is wanting to get us away from ourselves and realize that it's more than life than me. And that, God, you'll bless me. You'll be with me. You'll protect me. You'll guide me. You'll be my shelter when I'm homeless. God, he wants me to believe that. Turn away from me and live for him. Confess that he is my Lord. Confess that Jesus is the one. That it's not anybody else but only Jesus. Jesus is the way. It's not ways, plural, but Jesus is the way from earth to glory. And I have to be baptized into the body of Christ. This is when I touch the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Raised up in newness of life. And the blessing with Jesus is that he continues to rain down compassion on us. Even when we mess up, he continues to rain down compassion on us. We can fail a test, but we can still pass the course. God is faithful to have compassion on us so that we can have compassion. We can be moved to want to help somebody else, to encourage. Not throw any stones, but look for the gold in people. As we sing invitation song, those who want to be baptized, come to the front. Those who have prayer requests, make them known. As we sing invitation songs.